There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. As we get started, you know the number. But if you don't, you're new around here. That's cool. By the way, you had a birthday coming up on Saturday. 17 years for FM Talk 106.5. But the phone number, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. Same number. Use that. Also, today I'm going to continue my streak this week. And I'm looking at the monitors, of course, and Fox News, what do they want to do? They want to cover monarchs, is what they want to cover, figurehead monarchs. So another day of my No Kings rally here on the show, as I will at some point during the show pepper commentary about the royal family coming to negotiate, which they really have no, they talk about policy between the United States and England, and I'm stuck with the fact that he's not a real lawmaker. Y'all know that, right? He's like a king, but he has estates and stuff, but he doesn't make policy. Okay, so we'll work on that through today's show as well. And obviously the big story today, a SCOTUS ruling, and one that really impacts here in the state of Alabama. Good to have my buddy on. Not only is he, you read his work in Tennessean, he's the man behind the hottest new track from Wasted Bacon, Widespread Twerking, which I love. He's also spent a lot of time in Washington, but he's an attorney, and so he gets these things. At least that's what I hope. It's my buddy Cameron Smith joining us now to talk about a 6-3 SCOTUS ruling that may change the districts maybe back to what they used to look like here in Alabama. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. I appreciated the feedback for the Widespread Twerking single. You know, different devices have different responses to that kind of thing. So we're going to improve that track and get it ready for prime time.
Well,
so,
I got a few. Yeah, we'll talk later. I've got a few edits, but they're more for like the summertime club mix of the song. You know, for them to play at the dance club, you know, summertime. But that we'll get to that later. But I think it's good as it goes right now.
Yeah, and we're going to have a version of the song that is, think Cuba pre-communism. Very sort of, just a good party mix that is all back into the Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime. I mean, it just takes a while to be perfect when it comes to AI-generated music, but we're getting there.
You're the AI artiste out there. Take off your music producer hat. Give me your lawyer brain right now. And first of all, not 5-4-6-3 ruling here, striking down Louisiana's current congressional map. They created a second majority black district, ruling that lawmakers relied too heavily on race when drawing that district. That sounds like what happened in Alabama, too.
Yeah, so this is actually the Calais cases that the Supreme Court heard and ultimately decided on today. Really raise the question of these majority-minority districts that are created out of the Voting Rights Act that ultimately follow a test called the Jingles test, or Gingles, I can't ever remember how to pronounce it, that say, hey, if there's a sufficient number of minority voters in a single race minority group who are geographically compact and in a contiguous district, then they need to be able to elect a representative of their choosing. And that was kind of the genesis of what we now know as majority-minority districts. Well, the court today basically said, unless there's clear evidence of discrimination along impermissible racial discrimination along the redistricting process, then simply saying, well, this has sort of an impact on this minority group is probably not sufficient. And that's been a gray area. And what I mean by that is Democrats have played defense, but mixing race and politics. Your political party, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, is not a protected class. Legislators can draw districts, Republican and Democrat, in any way they want that cuts across political lines and can make those districts to their advantage. That's totally fine for the majority to do that. It's not permissible to look at race and say, we want to carve up these districts so black voters, for example, don't have voting power. And that has historically been a problem.
Yeah, you can't use race. I mean, that's why I scratched my head through the, you know, my understanding of the VRA is you don't use race. And then we look at these things and like, okay, we got to use race.
Yes. Well, this is the problem. This is what the court pointed out. It said that the Voting Rights Act does not require the creation of majority-minority districts. And in fact, the use of race by the state in creating a district is de facto, it's going to receive what's called strict scrutiny, which is the highest legal standard. And so, and what that means is when the court looks at it, they're basically going to say, the state has to have a compelling interest here for this statute to stand. Otherwise, we're going to strike it down because it's pretty clearly impermissibly discriminatory. And so that's what happened in this Louisiana case. I think this is the right call. It's going to, the word I would use is solicit a lot of caterwauling from the left.
Oh, yeah.
Who is going, they're going to howl and say, well, this is diluting the power of black voters. And that, well, here's the question for you. You know, when you create a majority-minority district, you dilute the power of black voters in the other districts.
100%. I was, when you were talking about that earlier, I was like Horseshack and Welcome Back Carter with my hand up, because I've thought this through the whole process with this. So you're telling me that, so you're going to, it's a majority-minority district. What about the people that are black that are in the other congressional districts or white in the seven? Like, this is silly stuff. Like that, they're going to, yes. The black folks in seven are representing black folks that live in two or one or three or four. I mean, it's like infantile thought.
Well, it is the weighting of black voters in one district to the exclusion of black voting power in the others.
Correct.
And that to me, it says, well, you've created an artificial voting construct based on race. The problem is, Republicans and libertarians talk about this stuff, but they never say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make sure you have access to the polls and access to vote. Like, we should be very, very clear about that. The whole point is to make sure you vote, you're part of the franchise of voting, and that nobody discriminates against you based on your race. They can discriminate against you based on your politics
party. Yes.
All day long.
Yes.
Like, that is not impermissible at all. And so you can't cry foul and say, well, being a being Democrat means that I'm black, or being black means that I'm Democrat, because we know, even though it's high, it might be 80-85% in some areas, to say that black and Democrat are synonymous is just not true. And this is where Democrats for years have said, well, anytime Republicans try to draw a line based on politics, that's the same as drawing it on race. It is not. And the court clarified that.
Yeah. And this is going to be interesting. Also on the, you know, the idea of that representation out there, you've got, think about people who, you know, this idea that, okay, I think we're just like so many things. We're thinking old school. They're thinking like we're in the 60s. To say, and even Alabama didn't make sense then, but their idea like, okay, well, you have a gerrymandered district for a racial minority to give them voice. Where is the district in our state where black folks are or white folks are? We're all in the same places. Like, it's right. It's not like there's, you know, it's some place where there's like, you know, a Chinatown or something like that, or Little Italy. Or we all live in Alabama. We're just all Alabamians.
Yeah, and ultimately, this is where the test that the Supreme Court had constructed to try to make sense out of the Voting Rights Act in this context, it was contorted at best, right? Because it said, well, if for example, black voters are congregated around an urban center, and they are, it's contiguous, and there's enough of them that if they all voted together, they could win an election. Well, that's probably good enough. Well, what we saw is, okay, there are folks that are carving up that population center expressly for the purposes of making sure there's not a black representative elected. We should address that, and we have historically. The 119th Congress is the most diverse in American history, and it's the, I think, eighth straight Congress to be that way. So we had success. The idea that we're just stuck in the past, we can't evolve, we can't grow and become a more perfect union is ridiculous. I do think we need to make sure that it's very clear in a state like Alabama, the worst thing the legislators can do is just go right back to redrawing the map and saying, well, how do we cut out figures? Well, the bottom line is what you need to figure out is what are the politics? Look purely at the politics. Say, what do we know based on where the Democrats are, where the Republicans are, and draw the line purely on politics. Do not, on partisan information, do not use anything, any other demographic.
Not even like maps. Not even like communities of interest and all that we were told before was a reasoning for it. Like I, you know, and I know I'm a creature of habit, but AL1 made sense in so many ways. I could have written you a book report on why, you know, from the Bay to the waterways to the industries to the agriculture, they all like blended together the way, you know, the TV yes. stations that the people watched, the radio stations, how it all brought all these people together. And then it was like thrown away. I mean, AL2 and AL1 now stretch from state line to state line.
And you can use those things. You can use those things to buttress your claims of, hey, we drew this in a manner that did not consider race at all. Basically, take your protected classes, race, gender, religion, ethnicity, and just put them off to the side and say, we're not going to look at any of these. And then everything else that's on the table, make sure you document every aspect of that, how you've considered it, how you've used it. And then you've got a very defensible case to bring back a coastal district, to structure things in a way that makes sense, because you can show, hey, we were not looking at race at all. We were looking at politics, communities of interest. We were looking at economics. We looked at everything. But we didn't. We expressly excluded these criteria because it's impermissible to review them and be overt and explicit about that.
Sounds like what my interpretation was of the VRA from back in the day, right? I mean, that was like we're returning to that. Now, I wonder, what does this do to, you know, the holders at all that have challenged these in states and made these changes? Do they come back for another bite at the apple? Do they take their travel and road show somewhere else? What do they do now?
Oh, they'll definitely come back for another bite at the apple. I think that this case, basically, my takeaway, I still want to kind of chew on it a little bit, but is unless you have explicitly discriminated on race in a provable fashion, then you got a lot more flexibility than you did prior to this ruling. That it is really on the plaintiffs to demonstrate, hey, this is impermissible racial discrimination in the way that you've built these districts. And so a state like Alabama, I think, will immediately go back to the drawing board and say, you know what? We want to look at this. We want to address this. And in the next election cycle, we will have these updated. I would be shocked if it wasn't.
You know, look outside the home here in Alabama, and obviously Louisiana named in the obviously in the case, but Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, Florida. I mean, this could show up in Washington. It's not just a intrastate, it's interstate. I mean, it's federal. It could make a significant difference by more than just a handful of House seats.
Yeah, I think it will. And what we've already got to remember is a lot of the blue states have already gerrymandered themselves in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've already done what they could to carve out and create a lot of these Democratic districts and squish Republican districts, and they've said that they did it for diversity reasons, things like that. But honestly, they did it for political reasons too. They weren't like, we don't like white people. They were, we don't like Republicans.
Republicans, right.
And, right. And so now red states have the opportunity to basically do the same thing in the opposite direction. What I think the result of all of this is you actually get more reasonable, diverse districts on the whole. So you don't have a one polarized district that is super Democratic and the rest are now super Republican, every district becomes more even. And then hopefully, my hope in all this is that you have a less polarized political environment because you got to spread the vote around.
Well, yeah, that's going to be the kind of candidates that would win. You know, the more purple a district is, the you start getting a different kind of candidate versus if they're deep blue or deep red.
Right, and that's what Alabama and Tennessee and other states have said. Like, for example, in Tennessee, you have one majority-minority district. Every Democrat they can pop in that district, they try to make the other districts more Republican. And so if you decide, well, actually, we want to diversify and have more districts that are more like our, let's call it the state map, then you just have less extreme districts. I think that's good for our politics.
People want to continue the conversation, which I know is going on all over the place on social media. How do they find you specifically? What's your address out there?
At D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. That is a great place to join the conversation. And check out the columns and send me an email.
Good stuff. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. There goes Cameron, and we're coming right back for Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan. FM Talk
106.5. By 12:27, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Coming up, Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins us. We'll talk to her. And, talk to her about this, the arrest made. I guess I'll do this what I normally do. I'll give the name once, and then from here on, it's going to be Dirtbag. The suspect, the arrest here, suspect believed to have stabbed, shot, and slashed the throats of a family of three in Wilmer on April 20th, was arrested yesterday morning by the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Mobile County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Paul Birch, said William Graham Oliver, from here on, Dirtbag, innocent until proven guilty. So, I'm not sentencing him to anything other than me calling Dirtbag for right now. And if things would change, he would not be guilty. I would take that back. Dirtbag, a 54-year-old from Wilmer, walked out of the administration building in handcuffs yesterday afternoon about 4:20 p.m. in front of a group of reporters. He was taken to the Mobile County Metro Jail. Dirtbag did not respond to a series of questions asked by reporters as he was escorted by two deputies, placed inside the agency vehicle, and driven across the street to the jail facility. The whole time, Dirtbag kept his head down and said nothing. Let's go, hey, if you've forgotten this story or whatever. Dirtbag has been charged with 8 counts of capital murder in connection with the deaths of Lisa Ferguson, 47, her 2 children, Keziah Luker, 17, and Thomas Cordell, 12, which, by the way, I've gotten texts from y'all that knew one of these children, a teenager, also charged with the death of Keziah's unborn child. So it's, the story, it just left me speechless the other day. This level of violence. So they include 4 counts of capital murder in the commission of a burglary, 2 counts of capital murder of someone under the age of 14, 1 count of capital murder of 2 or more people, and 1 count of capital murder in the presence of a child. Remember, we left the 18-month-old there that was not murdered, along with the others. But we'll talk about this when we come back. But it's the arrest made here. I don't know what to say. I really don't. If this is true, and he's not presented, he's not saying anything, we'll find out with interrogation. But if there's any, defense here in this, and I'll be interested too on how they made this arrest. So we'll talk about that with Erica coming back in just a minute or two, right after the news here on Midday Mobile.
Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. 251-343-0106 for a call and a text. We've had the same number 17 years. Yes, Saturday, our birthday, 17 years of FM Talk 106.5, and had the same phone number the whole time, just like my parents' house. All right, let's go to our friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com, and a lot to talk about with Erica. Thanks for being on.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy, Erica. This is like this case, and seeing the arrest yesterday, it is so, and not a lot. Yeah, I've been doing this a while. Not a lot goes and shocks me. Or whatever. This story absolutely is shocking and disgusting. And now Mobile County Sheriff's Office made an arrest with, I've now gone to call on the guy, you can use his name, Dirtbag, in connection with a quadruple homicide.
That's right. William Grant Oliver, he's 54 years old. He's actually from Wilmer and apparently familiar with this family that was killed last week. There were four people killed. Lisa Gail Fields, 46, her daughter, who was pregnant at the time. So the unborn child was one of those that is considered to be a victim of this quadruple homicide. And also Fields' 12-year-old son, Thomas Cordell Jr. They were all found dead at that home on Ogle Moody Road early morning hours, like 2:30 in the morning last Wednesday. So, you know, it took less than a week for them to capture this suspect, to figure out who it was. He is now facing 8 counts of capital murder. And every time we have a capital murder case where there's more charges than victims, people always ask, why is that? There's different statutes in Alabama that allow for capital murder. And so he is charged with everything they could find. They just threw the book at him. This is one of them is capital murder during a robbery, a burglary. So that shows us a little bit of what they might think the motive was here. Capital murder of a child younger than 14 is another one of those counts. And then capital murder of two or more persons, that's another.
Okay, so that's how it's eight, because people were wondering, yeah, with the eight capital murder charges, that's why. It's multiple for the people killed.
Yes, and we'll see different charges. Probably by the time this thing goes to trial, we'll have even more options for a jury to consider, like maybe felony murder in some of these cases. They will try him on everything they can possibly try him on. You know, the Mobile County District Attorney's Office, they will get this and see through that there is justice here. We want to remember, though, Oliver is definitely considered innocent until proven guilty. We still do not know the exact motive of what happened. But like I said, Sheriff Paul Birch did say that this suspect was familiar with the family.
Yeah, and you write about that he has a criminal history in Mobile County dating back to 1990. Later on the show, y'all, I'm going to go. Leanna has printed it out for me. And it goes to it's a two pager here. That doesn't mean, of course, that doesn't mean guilty of this. But yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Also, ran on the news here a little bit ago as Governor Ivey's ordered flags be flown at half staff today, and that's about what went on today. You actually live streamed this.
Yes, this is on my Facebook page. I live streamed a funeral procession. It was a post funeral procession of Thomasville police officer Dallas Hinton. He was 25 years old, the Marine. He was killed in an accident last week. Just so sad. And I'll tell you, the amount of agencies that were represented in this procession was very moving. I'm actually sitting here right now with a Clark County deputy who was there and part of this procession. And some of y'all might know who he is. His name is John Knapp. He's actually running for District 65 of the Alabama House of Representatives. But he was there, and he, you know, helped kind of make sure traffic was controlled during this, because there were so many officers with their lights going and their sirens as they drove down the highway after this funeral. It's just so sad. Every time we lose a law enforcement officer, you know, the state pays respect. And that's why Governor Kay Ivey ordered flags at half staff today.
Yeah, you think about a Marine who served in Afghanistan and then he comes back here home and dies here at home. You know, it's and I mean, a log truck accident, too, which those aren't unique. I mean, they're not unique to this case. We have them throughout the state. So scary stuff there as well. If people want to check out, so you said the live stream, if they want to go back and watch it, that's on your Facebook page.
Yes, and that's Erica Thomas. You'll see the blue check by my name.
All right. And then, on if they want to go to Twitter or X and follow you there, how do they do that?
That's Erica T News. You can also email me, erica.thomas@1819news.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter on 1819news.com. And if you want to become a member to support us, please do that as well.
All right. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. You too. There goes Erica Thomas with 1819 News. Yeah, so Leanna handed this to me. And once again, the fact that there's this criminal record does not equal, guilt in these murders. But 1990 gets started here. So this person is close to my age. Is 54. I'll be 54 here in July, and so 1990. So what was I, 17? 17 and 90, something like that. So 17, it starts with burglary. Burglary, auto burglary goes up to, still in 1990, unauthorized breaking and entering. You get to 91, receiving stolen property. You continue in 91. Now, these are all line items, so they may be connected with the same thing, right? But burglary thirds, one after another, unauthorized breaking and entering a vehicle, auto burglary. Then it goes into 91, yes, receiving stolen property. It keeps going through that. Burglary, 91, 92, breaking and entering, safekeeping, 96. So we had a little break there for you. So 96, we got DUI. Then we go. Jump to 2007, and this is of interest here, harassing communications, domestic violence, and then 2020, theft of property, and then the charges we talked about here that came out yesterday. So I mean, there's a lineup right now. I mean, once again, that does not mean guilt in this, but it's, it's a two-pager here. From the text line here, Tim says this could probably be a rumor. Okay, so fair enough. We're talking about rumors. I was told that he had the cell phones of the murder victims or possibly had them at one time. Physically had them. Sean Sullivan Jr. on the text line said, Sheriff Birch very carefully and strategically said, we have strong circumstantial evidence, so you may want to go easy on the guy. Although I strongly agree with your sentiment. Yeah, this is so heinous. You almost want to not believe anybody did it, but it was done, and it would be interesting. I'm sure more information will be coming out. They did the arrest yesterday in the perp walk. What is that circumstantial evidence, when that starts coming out? Let's see. Da-da-da. Okay. Pat says, hey, now the phone number on the door of your building is not the same as the text line. Well, that number on the door is the office, like that. So we have the text line and the phone line is 251-343-0106 or 016. The one on the door is how you like, Pat, if you want to get a public service announcement on, buy some advertising. Harass Dan and Dalton on their desk phones. That's the other number. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll be right back. 6:48, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday edition of the show. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. And it is, if we're coming up on 17 years, it's, what, 19 years? Maybe even more. Yeah, maybe he's outpaced us by a couple years with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. For all that time, I think 19 years, he's been getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin County. Like, if you haven't used the service, you probably know somebody who does. Heck, you can go look at the Google reviews and probably find people that you work with, go to church with, you know their families, whatever. You'll see them on the Google reviews. And I can Google review right here on FM Talk. Use them personally. Use them with this radio station. The service is fantastic. So you got junk. You need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And it's easy to set up the appointment. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Both places, you can set the appointment, and you find a day and a time that works for you. And then they come out, and the junk's gone. So that thing that's been nagging, right? Like, we got to get this junk out of here. We got to get this thing cleaned up. We'll get it done. And you can get it done pretty darn fast with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So make that appointment. Maybe it's for today. Maybe later this week. Maybe next week. Whatever. Find that time and make sure you get that thing crossed off your list with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Or like I said, the name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. To the text line here. Let's see. Yeah, and I'm sorry, CB Carl. I messed up there. I did not have my calendar in front of me. He said that May Day was on Friday. I was thinking it was Saturday, and we're going to observe on Friday. But no, May 1st is Friday, so thank you. Yeah, Friday is May Day. And yes, that's when I did launch the station, because I'm a smart aleck. You know, there was like a two-week period when we were going to, you know, I'd been working on this station for probably 6 months while running the other one. Everything set up, and I was like, when am I going to finally, you know, press go here? And I said, it'll be fun. The high holy holiday for the communist nations like China and Russia, we'll launch it then. Let's see. And yes, thanks, CB Carl, been with us since the beginning, back when it was you and Wayne in the morning, Neil Bortz in the midday. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you. Yeah, I missed Neil Bortz. Those were the days. Let's see, Billy D. Says, look, what happened to the family is horrible, but let's agree, man, there's just something else going on there, man. Just to you, don't do what people do unless there's some sort of problem mentally or physically. Yeah, I don't know. Because any of us that have a normal mind would be unable to understand what would lead to that violence. Actually, let's go to this clip. This is from Fox 10 TV talking about the charges as laid out, or the evidence as mentioned by Sheriff Birch.
Capital murder in connection to the deaths of Keziah Luker, the baby she was carrying, Lisa Fields, and Thomas Cordell Jr.
Is there anything that you want to say?
Mobile County Sheriff's deputies arresting William Graham Oliver after pulling him over near his home today.
A sheriff telling us they have evidence that makes them confident Oliver is the one responsible. Our Natalie Williamson joining us live from Metro, where Oliver is being held.
And Natalie, the sheriff says investigators know the motive.
Yeah, that's right, Lanice and Cameron. Sheriff Birch says Oliver was looking for something, but says he won't get into those details right now. Tonight, while Oliver remains behind bars here at Metro, Sheriff Birch says this arrest is the result of investigators working around the clock and the public's help.
Is there anything you want to say before you get loaded up? Now is your chance.
That's William Graham Oliver being escorted by sheriff's deputies in a white jumpsuit with hands cuffed behind his back after being charged with 8 counts of capital murder in connection to the deaths of Keziah Luker, the baby she was carrying, Lisa Fields, and Thomas Cordell Jr. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch says Oliver has known the family for quite some time and was inside the home on Abel Moody Road Sunday night, looking for something.
He was at the home, you know, 7:30-ish Sunday night, the 19th. Very, very tight timeline, very solid circumstantial evidence at this point, and we feel confident that we have the right man.
Right now, Birch says investigators do know what Oliver was looking for and his motive, but says he doesn't want to get into that at this time. Sheriff Birch says Oliver has a criminal history, but this is the first time charges against him are violent. Birch says this goes to show you never truly know what someone
is capable of.
Jail records show Oliver was charged with first-degree theft of property in 2020, with other arrests dating back to 1990.
Anytime there are children involved, it makes it a little tougher, and especially an unborn child.
Meanwhile, family, friends, and community members are preparing to attend Lisa, TJ, and Keziah's funeral. According to her obituary, 17-year-old Keziah was a mother who was described as spontaneous and wanted to be a nurse. 12-year-old TJ was described as a pure soul who loved music and games. And their mother, 46-year-old Lisa Fields, is remembered as the most giving, loving person.
And Lisa, TJ.
All right, so there you go, the update from last night. So there's so much to this, and it sounds like from what Sheriff Birch says that they have a lot of confidence in this, so we'll see. You know, more. He wasn't going to say all the things, but I'm sure those will come out at some point soon. All right. It's just absolutely shocking. I know that's cliche to say, but it's an absolutely shocking story. And yeah, do we want to know the? Yeah, I want to know the why. If this person is guilty, I want to know the why. So. All right, we'll get to some text on that, too, at 251-343-0106. Let's see. Let's go to Jason. Do we know if the horse? Oh, you're talking about from Devin's report there. Do we know if the horse might have escaped from L.A. barbecue? The meat was a little tough last time I was there. You know who likes to eat at least I think they did in the day? The French. The French eating, I don't know if it's still a thing, but I was listening to something, and they were talking about the different equine fare that the French enjoyed, which I don't know, you know. I mean, it's funny in this world, we say, well, this is, you know, beef, which I'm a strong proponent. Y'all eat more beef, please. You know, eating cows is fine. Eating horses is wrong. Now, are horses way smarter than cows? Yes. So are hummingbirds, actually way smarter than cows. So armadillos. David said Neil Borch was a bomb. Go Fairtax. You know, and it's funny, David, over the years, people come to me and be like, man, this Fairtax thing, have you ever heard of it? I'm like, listen, I was neck deep in it. I still have signs somewhere back in my office, Fairtax sign. I used to communicate with Neil Borch on that. It was just, it's one of those ideas that's like, I guess the cynicism of doing this for decades will take it out. You're like, you know, I used to think, man, this could happen. This could happen. This could happen. It's just not going to happen. We have to find other battles out there. But yeah, Neil was one of a kind. I could tell you that and could tell you stories here. Billy D said, when I first heard about this, the first thing I thought was a hit, like somebody had drugs. Somebody was looking for the drugs and somebody was trying to send a message. I told that to the Morning Boys last week. Yeah, well, that's the default, right? That this is, but at the level this is, I don't know. You know, people say, well, that's like, you know, the Sinaloa or, the New Jalisco, these cartels do that kind of stuff. But this looks like, at least at this point, it's not that. I don't know. It's going to be I am very interested to hear what additional information comes out. I mean, it sounds like in that clip you heard Sheriff Birch seems to be sure they got the right person, they got the reason, they haven't released it yet, but I'm desperate to know what reason for that kind of hell to unleash on people. I really am. Let's see, Earl, it's a hell of a thing to happen. Is to happen to figure out our criminal justice system doesn't work. This, you know, although looking through the record here, it was like one doesn't. Yeah, there's a lot of people that would. There's burglary thirds on here and all that kind of stuff. Receiving, selling property doesn't equal what the accusation is here, right? It was when you got here to 2007, he had harassing communications, domestic violence, those kind of things. But the theft stuff, I don't think equals the other. That's what I'm saying. Just because you found guilty on these other charges doesn't mean he did this. But since 1990, there's a two pages of a rap sheet here. It does not mean he's guilty in this, but worth looking at. All right. If you hadn't heard by now, big decision coming out of the Supreme Court that will make a difference right here in Alabama. We'll continue that conversation coming up in just a little bit with John Sharp from AL.com. And get your text on that as well, 251-343-0106.